I both love and hate that guy right now. I'll tell you what. Ugh. Well, I was already planning on bragging on Brad, so let's go ahead and get started on that one. I want you guys to know that he is definitely more than just a pretty voice and a pretty face. Yes, you do have both. You do have both. I only have to say that on his birthday and Father's Day. But he called me this week, and he's like, hey, I really have this song I want to sing, and I just know that there's people in our church that need to hear it. You know, there's people in our church that are going through different things, and he goes, I don't want to do it, though, because you know, I don't want you to get up there, and then you give like some goofy story, and me just make it a really awkward transition. And I said, buddy, I'm in youth ministry. Like, we embrace awkward transitions. Like, we look for those awkward transitions. So I'll just jump right in there. But, man, if I'd have told you not to do that, I'd feel horrible, because that was good. Ugh. Alrighty, now into the funny, awkward, goofy message. That'd be good. Let me find my notes. This is an article from our Sunday school. In our Sunday school class, in our college Sunday school class, we have been talking about very difficult issues and how do we respond to them as a Christian. We covered race tension last week. We covered gay marriage and gay adoption this week. And next week, it's cohabitation, sex before marriage. So if you want to have fun, come on to the college Sunday school class because that's what we're doing. That's not what I'm talking about at all today. It was just Daniel gave me an article. He's like, take this home and read. I'm like, sweet, light reading, great. But no, it's been good. Well, it is Father's Day, and I like dads. I am a dad. I have a few of them, and many more that aren't even mine have made a huge impact on my life. But some that stick with me even greater are movie dads. Movie dads. Those dads, when you watch a movie and you have that one dad, you're like, that's me. Like, I totally get that. I totally understand. And so I want you to share with me your favorite movie dad, okay? So who's got one they want to share? Who's got one like, this is my favorite? I love this movie dad. I love watching this movie. Who's got one? I've got plenty. Yeah, what's yours? This is going to be great. I can tell already. What? Yeah, he loves his daddy. There we go. His dad is his movie hero. There we go. Hey, does your dad pay you to be good? No, so you're good for nothing? All right, awesome. That was a bad joke. All right, anybody else? Movie dads. My favorite movie dad. I love this movie dad. One of my favorites is, and listen, I'll just be honest, Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation in that moment at the end of the movie when he's like, I just want us to have a nice Christmas. That's all. Why can't we? Anybody been there? Any dad's been there like, I'm trying to do something nice for you. Quit being a snot. You know, like, that's just, please. My daughter's in service, so I can't tell any stories about her. Otherwise, I'll be dead. Who else? Who got a favorite movie dad? You got a favorite movie dad? Father who brought. That's a great one. That's a great one. What else? Who else got some favorite movie dads? Last Man Standing. There you go. There you go. I like it. Phil Dunphy. You know what? There you go. There you go. Positive as can be. Homer Simpson. Lies. Lies. Listen, all right, this is a wrap. I wasn't planning on chasing this, but I heard this week. They were talking about Homer Simpson and his relationship with Ned Flanders, and I thought it was extremely poignant. He was saying, this is going to like, woo, right now, but listen, he was saying he felt that Homer was so angry at Ned all the time because that was the man he wished he could be, and he knew he was never going to get there. It changes the way you view Simpsons now. You're like, anyways. No one mentioned Liam Neeson from Taken. Like, I'm like, I want to be that dad, like, kick the door, you know, no. No, one dad that I always think about in movies is from It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life was a movie my mom would make us watch anytime we said, I hate you, I wish you were dead. She's like, It's a Wonderful Life, sit down, watch the movie. But I watched that movie 1,000 times growing up. I did. And then I had kids, and it changes the way you watch movies. It really does. I don't know if I'm just tired so I cry more or if it's because I have kids that I cry more. But it was 2 years ago. I was sitting on my couch. It's Christmas. Carrie wasn't at the house. Maybe she was doing something. I don't know. But I'm sitting there watching the movie. And there's a scene in the movie where he comes home to where he thinks is his home, and his daughter's not there. His daughter was never born, and he's panicking. Where is she? And I'm like, Charlie, get over here. Let me hold you for just 5 minutes. You know, I'm just crying because I can just imagine how he feels as a father for his child not to have been born. You know. We enjoy movies and entertainment, especially the ones that we can identify with because we get it. Like, we understand. Like, we've been there. We understand those feelings, and it pulls us in. And Jesus did the same thing. He would use things that we could understand in order for us to be able to identify with what was going on, to be able to understand complex spiritual issues and things. He would use parables. We're going to look at a couple today. Parables, stories that people would go, oh, I understand that. I get that. I've been there. I can identify with that. But he also used the term father for God for us to be able to understand. He wants us to understand what that relationship looks like or what it should look like between us and God the Father. In the Old Testament, the word Father for God was only used 15 times. But in the Gospels alone in the New Testament, it's almost 200 times that the word Father is used. It's a big shift. It's a big change. And it continues on in the rest of the New Testament that word Father for God is used. And I believe that Jesus was beginning the transition from God's people, Israel, to God's sons and daughters, Christians. He's changing it from this distant, cold relationship that maybe you had respect and awe for the king, but you were never going to get to know him. Jesus began to change that and say, that's not what God wants. God wants children. God wants relationship. God wants intimacy. And so Jesus began to change that, change the scene, because the people of God were not intimate with God for the most part. The leaders of the people of God were not intimate with God. We see that because he's constantly having to show them what it really means to love God. He's showing them what it really means. So we are, if you are a Christian, if you have been saved by Jesus, you are a son or daughter of God, the Father. You are an heir to the kingdom. We're singing these songs, and I've been spending the week thinking about intimacy with God, and we're singing this song about how great God is and crown him, and I'm thinking, that's my dad. You know, you get proud thinking about that. Like, that guy adopted me and loves me and cares for me, and it just tears me up. And if you're sitting there going, I just don't understand what that looks like, what that means, I want us to look at, we're going to look at Luke 15 eventually, but right now, 1 John chapter 3, the first sentence says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are." It may be difficult for us to understand a relationship with a king, or a relationship with somebody who's far away, but I hope that you can understand the closeness of a relationship with a father. For some of us in here, we can't do that. I remember one of the first years I was here at church, I was actually right there where Amanda was, and Pastor was up here on a Father's Day morning, and he was teaching about good fathers. And we had a young man who was sitting on a row who was one of our youth, and I looked over at him, and he mouthed the words, "I don't have a father. I don't know my father." And I remember thinking, I totally get it. His dad left him before he was born, took off. He'd never known his dad. And he goes, "How am I supposed to know what love of a father is if I didn't even have a dad?" And some of us in this room have had relationships with dads that aren't good dads. And you're like, "I don't want to have a relationship with a dad." Let me be very clear. Fathers on this earth are flawed. They're imperfect. They're broken. If you don't believe me, ask my kids. Carrie works part-time, and so there are some days where I have all three kids by myself, and it's in those days that I feel like the worst father ever. You know, it's like, "What do you mean you're hungry? I have to feed you too?" Like, it's like they're asking me over and over again for things, and I feel like a horrible dad by the end of the day. You know, but we make mistakes. We're flawed as fathers here on this earth. But when I'm about to look at God the Father, I want us to all understand that love is perfect. That love is better, even if you have the best dad in the world. And some of you, I've met your dads, and they're great. God's love is better. It's more perfect. It's without flaw. It's without end. It's without condition. So I want to make sure we're on the same page before we dig in. Every once in a while, a song will come by that catches my attention, that really begins to change how I view God. The song Reckless Love is not one of those songs for me. Or it wasn't. It wasn't one of those songs for me. I heard it and I was like, okay, all the kids love it. That's great. Cool. Whatever. We can sing it. It didn't really affect me. It didn't really impact me. It's a great song though. So I want us to talk about it a little bit. The song is written by Corey Asbury, and it's gotten some heat in the Christian press lately because of the word reckless in it. I'm going to read some of the lyrics here. It says, "Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed life in me. You've been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God." That word reckless rubs some people the wrong way because they say, my God is not a reckless God. Reckless means not counting the cost, not understanding, doing without care or concern. And we know that's not how God responds. That's not how God behaves, because God isn't careless. He isn't reckless. God holds everything in place in the palm of His hand and doesn't break a sweat. We know that He's not reckless. However, when we look at the scripture that inspired this song, the pictures we see are some pretty reckless pictures. God may not be reckless, but sometimes the way He loves us sure feels reckless. It really does. Like, were you thinking when you did that? I don't know that you were. He was inspired by Luke chapter 15, and that's where we're going to be looking at today. He was reading the stories in Luke 15, and he's looking at these three stories, and he's going, some of these look really reckless. But these are pictures of God's perfect love, and we're going to be taking a look at those. I'm not going to read word for word Luke 15. In fact, I don't think I'm going to read any of it. I know Luke 15, but I want you to know that's where I'm going. I want you to know that's where I'm taking these stories from, and I want you to read them for yourself. I don't want you to take my word for it and go, oh, that's what Luke 15 says. Go home and read it. Please do. But it's a long chapter, and if we read the whole thing, we'll be here till 3, and that's just not my style. Not my style. Pastor Doug, maybe, not mine. All right, Luke 15 is a great chapter. Great chapter. There's three stories. It starts with Jesus being confronted by the religious leaders. He was hanging out with people that we would not want our children hanging out with. And they said, don't you know they're dirty? And he said, don't you know they need me? I mean, it was like, he's like, why? Of course, I know? I am God the Son. Like, I know who they are, but they need me. They need me. See, the Pharisees want him to spend time with the good people that were in church, make them better. And Jesus is saying, no, I want the people that don't know God. I want to love them. That's where we start. And to illustrate it, he gave three stories. The first is the story of a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one of them wandered away. And the shepherd left the 99 sheep and went out to find the one. Now, if you don't know how shepherding works, you're supposed to watch the animals. And he left 99 of them to go after one. When he finds that one sheep, he rejoices. He comes to his family. They have this celebration because I have found the one. To tell another story, there was a woman who had 10 silver coins and she lost one of the coins. And so she ransacked her house looking everywhere until she found that one coin. And she called her family in and said, I found it. And they celebrated and rejoiced. See, in those two stories, something that seems common, a lone sheep, a single coin, was very important to the person who was looking for it. I want you to understand that to God, you're not just some common person. You're not just one of several billion people on this earth. You are important to Him. You are worth going after. You are worth searching for. But they didn't seem to get it, so he continues with one of his most popular parables, the prodigal son or the prodigal father, or the lost son. There's all kinds of names. If you don't know the story, it's a great story. And if you want to know a lot about the story, talk to Bob Crane. We talked about it in one Bible study, and he sent me like a 72-page article. He's like, I read this the other week, and I thought it was really good. And it was more than you will ever know about. I mean, he knows the prodigal son well. But it's a great story. It's a beautiful story. It's a story we should all know very well because we should be living that way. So the story goes like this. A man had two sons. The younger son wanted his inheritance. And so he said, Father, give me my money early. And by doing that, he was saying, I hate you. I don't want to be with you. I want my money now before you die. So give it to me and I'm going to leave. His father does. His father disgraces himself by giving him his inheritance. The young man goes off, spends all the money on wild living. So the Bible says, wild living. And then it says, a famine came. Something that was out of the son's control. And he was then destitute. He was then poor. He had nothing. And so he hired himself out to watch over pigs. A Jew watching over pigs. That's not what they do. It's an unclean animal. They don't want to be there. But not only is he hanging out with pigs, he's wanting to eat the food that the pigs are eating because he is so hungry. And in that moment, he realizes, why am I here? If I was a slave in my father's home, I would eat better than this. So I'm going to go home. So he goes home, and like any of us who have been in trouble, we rehearse our speech, or anybody of us who wants to tell somebody off. But that's another story for another day. But if we are in trouble, we rehearse our story. Okay, so this happened and this happened. And he's rehearsing his story. And as he's rehearsing his story, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. Would you please make me a slave in your home? The Bible says that his father saw him from a long way off. His father was looking for him. And his father ran to his son, wrapped his arms around his son, and it doesn't stop there. It says that he gave him a robe, a ring, and sandals. Three things that his son should have had. He didn't just welcome him back and go, I'm glad you're home. Yeah, you can go be a slave. No, he reinstated the son three times. In fact, the ring signifies that you're allowed to make decisions for this family. Like, listen, I got people in my family that are like that. If they came around, I don't know that I'd be like, here's my checkbook. You know, like, you're good to go. That's not what this father does. This father loves the son and reinstates him as his son and gives him the ability to make decisions for the family, restores him, makes him whole. We use that story looking at the love of a father, and that should impact us. Because the love that's exhibited there is so powerful. This son had done everything he could to hurt his dad, and his dad just welcomes him back. Welcomes him back, restores him, makes him whole, gets him comfortable, and then throws a party for him. That is the God that I love. That is my Father God. And he can be yours too. He loves us so greatly that no matter what we do, no matter how badly we hurt him, he cares for us and has the ability to restore us, to make us whole, to throw a party for us. He has that ability. Like, God's not like, oh, geez, three times? Really? Okay, well, now you get, like, we're going to have breakfast on Tuesday. God has the ability to restore us over and over and over again. And the reason he does it is not because of anything we did, not anything that the son did, the coin did, or the lamb did. Nothing they did caused them to be loved by God. It was inherent in who God is that he loves his creation. He loves those that he has created. And even more so, those that have relented to Jesus, that have said, yes, please save me because I'm a hopeless case. Please, Jesus, save me. He loves us. So what do we learn from this story, these stories? I've got just three quick points that I want to share with you guys. I want you all to understand this. They're not filling the blanks. Now, you know CJ's preaching because there ain't no notes in the bulletin. There's no filling the blanks either. It's very, very simple. Number one, when we look at these stories, we need to understand that the Father wants a relationship with us. No matter who we are, no matter how common we think we are, no matter how filthy we think we are, the Father wants a relationship with us. Okay? The shepherd wanted his sheep, the widow wanted her coin, the father wanted a son. God the Father wants a relationship with you. Not a distant, cold relationship of a king and a servant. We are God's servants, but we're also his children if we relent and we give our lives to Jesus. He doesn't want that. He wants intimacy with us. He wants a relationship with us. But what's even better than that, not only does he want a relationship with us, he will pursue us for that relationship. He doesn't stand there and go, okay, fix all those things you've messed up, and then I'm right here. Come all back this way, and I'm right here. Check all these boxes, and I'm right here, and then we can be close. That's not the picture we get here. And if these three stories aren't enough, Jesus was God pursuing us coming to this earth. He didn't wait for us to figure it out. He came and fixed it. Because that's what he does. He wants a relationship with you, and he will pursue you. For the relationship. That's how much he loves you. He'll pursue you. And finally, not only does he want a relationship with us, not only will he pursue us, but his love will complete us, will make us whole. It's not a relationship like here on earth where I give some and you give some, and as long as we keep giving to each other, then this relationship is going to be good because there's nothing we can give God, nothing we can do to make the relationship any better. It's all on him, and he's okay with that. He's the one that's constantly pouring in and loving us and changing us and making us into the person that he wanted us to be in the first place. He's the one that gives us gifts. He's the one that gives us blessings. Every good thing that's ever happened in your life only happens because God allowed it to happen. God gave you that good gift. So if you're breathing, that's a gift. If you have a spouse, that's a gift. Even if she's a pain in the neck, it's a gift. Your kids are a gift. Your car is a gift. Your job is a gift. If your food is warm when you get it, when you go to eat lunch, that's a gift. Every good thing is a gift. If you can tie your shoes, that's a gift. Like every good thing that's ever happened in your life and ever will happen in your life is all because God is saying, I want to make you complete, and the only way you're going to be complete is in me, and so I'm going to love you and love you and love you and love you and love you. I mentioned that Reckless Love wasn't a song that really captured me, and that was until my wife told me the story behind the song. I told you it was inspired by Luke chapter 15, which is true. But it started as Corey Asbury, who wrote the song, is holding his newborn child in his hands. And he's looking at this child and he's thinking, I love this kid. And there's not a thing this kid can do that would make me love it any less. And there's nothing this kid can do to make me love it anymore because my love is at the top at this point. And he's going, you know, this love that I'm experiencing is the same love that God experiences when he holds me. And then he started thinking about it. He's like, okay, so if that's the same, what about when my kid's in trouble? And the feelings I feel like, how much I want to protect them from that trouble. And what would I do to get my kid to safety? I would do anything. There's nothing I wouldn't do to save my kid. Because that's the same way God feels about me. What about when my kid wanders off and my kid wants nothing to do with me? What would I do to get my kid back? Nothing. There's nothing I wouldn't do. Because that's the same love that God feels about me. And so he wrote this song. And this is the bridge. It's over and over again. It's this chant. It says, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. That's how God feels about us. There's nothing going to get in the way. Nothing. Dads, I want to just share. This is how you can be a good dad, but I want to talk to you for a second. We understand this. We can identify with this love because we understand it when we have our kids. We should be the ones that are leading the way in intimacy with God in our families. Because we know. We know what God feels for us. And so we should be the ones that are sharing that. I know that I've dropped the ball before and I will again probably before the day is out. But it's Father's Day, so I get a pass. But if a fraction of what I feel for my kids is what God feels for me, jazz me up, gets me on fire. That's how much God loves us. I said those that are saved, and I want you to know, if you aren't saved, I don't want you to think, well, it's not me then. Like, that's not the message here. Because listen, God wants you. Whether you're saved or not saved, He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. That's why we come here. That's why we spend time together. That's why we encourage each other so we can go out and tell other people, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants a relationship with you. In just a minute, we're going to sing this song. We're going to sing Reckless Love. And if you don't have an intimate relationship with God, I want you to sing this song. And I want you to understand that what you're singing is how God feels about you. And if you can't sing, I want you to read the words and go, this is how God feels about me. And if you have the tiniest little bit of peace in you that says, you know what? I think I do want a relationship with God. The reason why you have that, is it because of anything you did? The Bible tells us the reason why you have that feeling, that desire to know God, is because God is already prodding you and poking you and saying, come to me. That feeling, like, I want a relationship with God. I wonder if he wants me. That's not a question you should ask, because the reason you feel that way is because God does. And he's the one that's saying, come to me. Be with me. I will complete you with my love. I will renew you. I will restore you. I will make you a child of mine. Question is, do you want a relationship with him? There's nothing else you have to do. You don't have to say some special prayer. You don't have to hop on one foot. You don't have to clean your life up. You just have to want a relationship with him. As I said, in just a minute, we're going to sing the song. When we do, if you say, I really want a relationship with God, I haven't had it. I've come to church, but I've never had a relationship. I've been paying my taxes to a ruler, not sitting down to eat with my father. Then I encourage you to come forward and tell me. That's what I want. I don't have a whole lot of special words for you, but I'll pray with you. I'll be excited with you because let me tell you something. That's amazing. That's awesome. But if you don't want to come down this aisle, that's okay. That's fine. There's a lot of people looking at you, and you may be like, that's fine. We've got our church is giving you a communication card in your bulletin that you can fill out to let us know that that's what you want to do. And we do that because we want no excuse for you to have this moment in your life and somebody not celebrate with you. So fill that out. I want to be a Christian. I want a relationship with Jesus. Fill it out. Put it in the offering plate and we'll get it and we'll get in contact with you. Or if you don't want to walk down, but you don't want to wait till tomorrow, Brad and I are the last ones here. And there was nothing more we would rather do on Father's Day than introduce you to your Heavenly Father. Nothing more we would rather do. We'll wait here. I mean, listen, I got Texas Roadhouse waiting on me. It'll be open until 6. I'm good to go. I'm good to go. I will wait. Because the best thing you can do on Father's Day is meet your Heavenly Father, because it will change your life. It'll wreck your life. You're going to be giving reckless love to Him. Like it's what we need to do. It's what we're called to do. And if you have kids, you now, I hope you understand more now what it looks like for God to love you. It is more than you have ever loved your kid ever. Like when they're asleep, you know? You're like, I love them now. They're going to wake up in a little bit, and maybe not then, but they're asleep. Like, more than that. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you so much that you are so, so good to me. I had a dad who did some things right and a whole lot of things wrong, just like the rest of the dads in this room. But you are the perfect Father who perfectly loves me in every perfect way. Help me to see more and more every day how much you love me, so that it would change me. And I pray that for everyone here, that they would see more and more every day how much you love them, so that it would change them. Complete me with your love. Complete them with your love. Pursue us. Don't let us go. We know you won't. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.